Well, as I mentioned, today is the Feast of Corpus Christi and the Feast of the Body of Christ. And we're asked by the Church to ponder the beautiful gift of the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, Jesus gives us his very self. We confess without any hesitation that what looks like bread and wine no longer is, but in fact is now truly the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of Jesus Christ. We receive him today, and he feeds us on his own flesh and blood. And it's not a dead slab of flesh, pardon the expression. It is the full, complete, glorified, living Jesus Christ that we receive today. Now, there is, if you will, this theme I'd like to preach on today, simply this. Jesus wants to feed you, and he wants to feed people you know and love. Now, thanks be to God, you're here today, but there are some who are not. We see that even though the number of Catholics continues to grow in this country, the number who go to church regularly on Sunday continues as a percentage to drop. And so we need to renew our faith in both the glory of the Eucharist, but also the need for it, the need for the Eucharist. So go with me for a minute. I want to look at this gospel with you, but let's go as a kind of a background, and let's go to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, the Lord is teaching on the Eucharist that he's going to give us, his own body and blood. And he says very plainly and very clearly there, the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now at this, the Jews who interpret him to be speaking literally, that they're going to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they're like, this is crazy talk. And he doesn't say, oh, I'm just talking spiritually and symbolically. In fact, he doubles down and he says to them, let me solemnly assure you that you must gnaw on my flesh and drink my blood. And he uses a very impolite word in the Greek. He goes from phagein to trogon, which means to gnaw on something. It's what an animal does when it eats. The Lord doubles down, and so offended were people that day that many, it says in John 6, left Jesus and would no longer follow him because of this teaching. Wow. See? Now, most of us have grown up with this and we're used to it, but imagine hearing it for the first time. It's challenging, right? The Lord never wavered. And he simply turned to the disciples, 12, and he said, will you also leave me? No, Lord, said Peter. We can't leave you. You have the words of eternal life. We come to accept and acknowledge that you are he who is to come. And so they stayed with him. But what an incredible desire the Lord has to feed us, that he would be willing to present even a challenging teaching like this and summon us. Now, to those who accept this teaching, the Lord first of all makes a promise, and then he also adds a warning. This summons us to something of an urgency about the Holy Communion we receive. The promise is this. I am now the living bread that has come down from heaven for you to eat and not die. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him, and I will raise him. I will raise her on the last day. So there is the great promise of the Eucharist. It's a pledge of eternal glory that the Lord gives you, a pledge that if you will faithfully eat my flesh and drink my blood, I will strengthen you, and I will bring you home to heaven by the strength of this food. But then he provides the warning. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. In other words, to absent ourselves habitually from the Eucharist means that we are starving spiritually, and the life is literally draining away from our souls. So you see the urgency. that the Lord asks of us in the Eucharist. Now, let me explain a little bit, too, of the context so you kind of see why it's urgent. The Lord was speaking in terms of an Old Testament story that most of us are familiar with. You recall that they had been led out of Egypt by Moses, praise the Lord. And they came out of slavery and into freedom, and they went through the waters of the Red Sea. It was a kind of a symbol of baptism. But then on the other side, they say, all right, we're free from the Egyptians, but now we're in a desert and we're going to starve. We have no food to sustain us in this desert. What are we to do? And God said to Moses, tell the people to stop grumbling. I will show them tomorrow morning the food with which I will sustain them. And that morning they went out and they found available to them something they called manna, which doesn't really mean bread in Hebrew. It means, what is this? But they called it also the living bread from heaven. They called it the bread of the angels. They called it the bread come down from heaven. And it nourished them for those 40 years in the desert. And it brought them to the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. But they needed the manna to get them through those 40 years in the desert. And without that food, they would have not had the strength for the journey. And so Jesus then takes up that theme and he says in John 6, as I've been quoting, you, I am now the living bread come down from heaven for you to make your journey, for you to eat and not die. Not die in the desert of this world as you try to move toward the promised land of heaven. You need food for the journey. You need strength. You need this food. And he warns, therefore, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Just as the people in the desert, had they rejected the manna, would never have made it to the promised land, so now for you, if you reject this, you will not have strength for the journey. So you see the glory of this food that we receive, and yet also the urgency with which we should first of all receive and then bring back to the church and the sacraments so many who have strayed, who think that the world and its food can somehow sustain them. And the Lord says of them, and it's he who says this, so don't blame me, I'm just quoting him, that those who say they don't need all that stuff, all that mumbo jumbo and stuff in the church, the Lord says they're starving spiritually. They're dying spiritually. And we ought not have any less urgency about that than Jesus himself. Jesus wants to feed every one of us here today, but he's also got people that you know and love that he wants to feed. And he's saying, bring them to me. Call upon them, teach them of the need for the Eucharist, and reach out to them and tell them what it's done for you. You know, it's not enough for us to say, you got to go to Mass. We ought to say that. But why do you go to Mass? What does it do for you? Well, I can tell you what it does for me. I mean, I am 55, right? So for about 30-some years now, I wasn't very serious in my early 20s, but I got started to get serious, and since my mid-20s, every Sunday, every day, Holy Communion, prayer, the Word of God, I want you to know, he's changing my life. Now, I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. I'm going to tell you, I am not what I used to be. My life is being changed and transformed. What's your testimony? I give all the glory to God that I gather with you Sunday after Sunday, and we sing the beautiful songs of Zion, and we hear a word from God, and we feast on it, and then we go to the beautiful Eucharistic table of the Lord, and he gives us his own body and blood for the journey. All I know is I've been sustained by all this. It is the joy of my week. It is the high point of my life. I am so grateful for what the Lord has done for me in rooms like these and at this beautiful table of his word and his sacrament. Are you? You see, how are you going to inspire someone? You can't just say, well, it's a rule. By God, you got to go. And, well, it's a rule. It is. But really, honestly, brethren, why do you come? and talk of the joy and ask the Holy Spirit to anoint you and give you a testimony and show you what he's done for you. Oh, what he's done for me, right? Just start singing at the dinner table at your house. I just never can tell all the things that the Lord has done for me. Well, you see, the Lord has an urgency to feed all of us. And there are some who are not here today. Now, let me ask you, by way of an analogy, if you have ever raised children, what father or mother, if their child stopped eating, would not move heaven and earth to get that kid back to regular food? What parent who loved that child would not move heaven and earth, go to doctor after doctor to find out whatever the problem is, to get this child back to eating? Because if not, the child will grow weaker and weaker and eventually die. Oh, brethren, how could it be anything less with the Lord God than to have the same kind of urgency to feed those who have stopped eating? And he needs you and me to be his voice to bring them back, to bring them back. And that leads us then to today's gospel, where the Lord has a deep, deep desire to feed the people who were with him that day. They're at the lakeside, and he's been preaching all day long. See, you think you get long sermons. The Lord says, as the day is drawing to a close, he's been preaching all day long out in the hot sun with them, and now it's getting late, and the disciples come to him. But the Lord says, I want to feed these people. I care about them. So you see his desire, right? So notice, first of all, that he has a desire, but then the disciples come to him and say they have a desire too. They come to the Lord and they say, now you should dismiss the crowd so that they can go into the neighboring villages and find provisions, because this is a deserted place. Now, they make a good observation, but they make the wrong conclusion. The right observation is, these people are hungry. Oh, somebody say hungry. They are starving. They are famished. And that's the right diagnosis. You know how hungry we are? We're infinitely hungry. You've heard me on this before. But listen, think about your desires. They're infinite, aren't they? When were you ever really satisfied? You had it all. I need nothing more now. I'm set for life. Yeah, and then 10 seconds later, you needed to accessorize something, right? You heard that there's an upgrade. Listen, now we can talk about greed and how we should resist that, but I want you to know there's an important testimony that we're not satisfied. Because you have in your heart, as I do, an infinite longing. An infinite longing. A God-sized hole is in your heart, and only God can fill it. And we keep running back to the world saying, well, just a little more money, just a little more health, just a little bit of a bigger house, just a better neighborhood, just a little improvement, and I'll be set. And it never works, does it? And you know it doesn't work. And it's not supposed to work. Because guess what? God wrote his name on your heart. And nothing finite can satisfy what is infinite. And nothing limited can satisfy what is unlimited. You are hungry, admit it. Hungry. So hungry that nothing in this world, even if it was all given to you, would ever satisfy. It won't work. It's a futile thing to try to get this world to satisfy your infinite longing. So they're right. These people are hungry. Somebody say hungry. Infinitely hungry. Now listen, all your desires finally point to God. That's where they point. A little food might help you to your stomach, but not your soul. You got to have soul food for your soul. No amount of anything in this world will ever satisfy your soul, because it's made for God. Are you praying with me? But here comes the problem. They've made the right diagnosis. Oh, but they come to the wrong conclusion. These people are hungry. We ain't got nothing here. Tell them to go away. Are you clear that the church should never speak like that? No church should ever say, these people, man, they got problems. Send them away. Because we've got the solution. And it's not us, it's Jesus. Send them away? No. And you're going to see what Jesus says in just a moment. He says, you give them something to eat yourself. But before we get there, be careful, because churches sometimes talk like this. Oh, these troubles, we can't handle it all. Just send them away. Send them to the government. Send them somewhere. Church, we may not be able to satisfy everybody's physical needs, but we have the spiritual answer. And I don't say that in arrogance. I say it in humility. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am what your soul desires. I am He. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard my Savior calling, draw from my well that never will run dry. Wisdom from an old spiritual. Are you praying with me? Only Jesus can really satisfy. And to think that we would ever go to Jesus and say, tell them to go away. And Jesus is indignant. And that's where we go, you see, there is a desire that's discerned. They make the right discernment, but the wrong conclusion. So we now move to the directive that is given to the disciples. He says to them, give them some food yourselves. Did you hear me, church? Jesus has a directive for, it's not just for these guys 2,000 years ago, it's for us. Give them something to eat yourself. What do we have? Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say the word of truth. We should never say we have nothing to offer. We may at times feel like we are without resources. We are never without resources. We have the Lord. And so the Lord says to them, look, you give them something to eat yourself. But Lord, we don't have the resources. He says, you have me. Now bring me what you do have. But Lord, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we feel overwhelmed at times. Bring me what you do have. Bring it to me. So my meager praises or my meager advice, and I don't know the scripture enough, and we have all the excuses in the world. He says, bring what you do have and bring it to me. And let's get started. Let's get started. And then he gives a very strange directive. He says, have them sit down in groups of 50. What a weird detail, huh? Did you follow that? Sit down in groups of 50. What's that all about? Well, there's about 50 different opinions among Bible scholars. But I will tell you the one that I think that is the most important for us. The Lord understands that we can't just solve the whole world's problems from right here in Washington. Now, they might think up the street they can do that, but they got another thing coming to them, all right? But the Lord says, have them sit down in groups of 50. In other words, let's put them in this manageable groups, and we're going to set somebody over in charge of them. This is what we call in the Catholic tradition the parish system. Are you aware of this, that the Catholic Church has divided the entire world up into parishes? There is not one bit of real estate on this globe that doesn't have a parish assigned to it. Now, our parish, north to F Street, south to Pennsylvania Avenue, east to the river, west to 11th Street. That's our 50. Now you say, there's more than 50 there. I got you, but don't obsess about the number. This is our parish boundaries. And this is where we're supposed to work. And you know, we've talked about this, and we've knocked on doors. We ring the church bell. We have concert series. When the choir, just prepare. We're going to take the choir into Lincoln Park one of these days, soon. Our job is that every man, woman, and child that lives, these are our 50. And they're the ones we're most responsible for as a parish. I'm supposed to be their pastor, but I need you to help me shepherd them. We've got to reach neighbors. We've got to call, and we've got to ring the bell. We've got to keep calling. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on over here. Keep coming, calling, reaching, reaching. You see, brethren, the Lord has in mind a work for us. And he knows we can't go to the whole world. He knows that we've got our little corner of Zion to take care of, our group of 50. Now, you see, what's true then for us as a parish is also true for you as an individual disciple. You have your family. And I don't just mean your nuclear family, but some of your extended family, your 50, the people you know and love. And the Lord says, give them something to eat and bring them to me. But Lord, bring what you do have. Bring it to me and let's get them here. And so again, we have a work to do. The Lord has a passion to feed. He says, don't tell them to go away. Tell them to come. Plead with them. Drag them if you have to, but bring them here. Bring them to me. Bring them. Reach your family members. Say, but Father, I've tried and I've tried and I'm starting to sound like a nag. Well, don't be a nag, but testify, call, summon, persevere, but never give up in calling. The Lord wants to feed people who aren't here. And don't just lack faith in what he says. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You are dying spiritually. Urge, plead, call, move heaven and earth. But my arguments aren't enough. Bring them to me, says the Lord. Bring those arguments, but let's get to work. Ask for my grace. Do some fasting if you have to, but reach and bring them to me. So reach back to your families. Reach into our neighborhood. Take care of our 50. That's what the Lord's plan is for us. Are you praying with me? Because it's urgent that people return to the Eucharist. It's a very serious warning. And we don't take it seriously enough. But we have to. Now again, when I say we don't do this or that, I'm not saying this is equally true of everybody here. I'm just saying that collectively speaking, we're a little ho-hum about the whole thing. Oh, well, you know how it is. You know, it's nice if that floats your boat and you want to go to church, that's nice. If it doesn't, that's okay too. It's not okay. It is not okay. It is not God's plan. God's plan is bring them to me. Give them something to eat. Work with me. We've got to feed them. So we see, therefore, in this gospel, a desire that's discerned. A directive for the disciples, and then finally, the determination of the deliverer. Jesus takes the meager 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he goes to work, and he multiplies, and he grows. You never know what the Lord can do with your meager offerings. I've tried, Father, I've tried. They don't listen. They don't want to come. Keep at it. Let the Lord take it up and start to multiply it. You know, I've told you these stories before, but I'm minding my own business, and Jim McClare says, come on down here. Someone's at the door that wants to see the priest. And I come on down, and someone says, bless me, Father, it's been 40 years since my last confession. Ooh, I said, somebody's been praying for you. And there is a harvest. And it may take that long. But don't you ever give up. Now, I did a little soul searching as I prepared this sermon. There is someone in my family, I will remain very obscure of who it is, but there is someone in my family who has fallen away from the practice of the faith. They're not coming to church. They say, oh, it's no big deal. I say, it's a big deal. I mean, I'm a priest. Come on, y'all, right? But and so there you go, Uncle so-and-so or whatever. You know, there you go again. I said, well, I'm going to keep going. But I know that at times I feel like, oh, okay, I won't mention this time. And I know that we've all got to have a certain strategy, and sometimes you got to keep your powder dry. But please, brothers and sisters, keeping your powder dry is for the purpose of eventually using it. You got to blow something up with it eventually, right? Don't just keep your powder dry to keep your powder dry. Strategize, work, think through, but at the end of the day, execute the plan. Now, I know that, what that means for me is I need to pick up the phone one more time. And I will. And I'm going to go back to work because of a gospel like this on someone that I might have said, well, they're just not going to listen. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to bring my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You're supposed to talk like that because you're a priest. I hear you. I'm talking like this because it's true. I'm talking like this because it's changing my life. You see the idea. People will easily write us off. But, you know, maybe after I'm dead, this person will return. I just know this. The Lord can take my meager 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiply them, and can take yours. And I want to ask you then to just ponder, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Ponder one final image with me of the church. Think of how unlikely the church was to succeed. The Lord had 12 very marginal guys who over and over again prove they don't get it. And in fact, the inept response is the most consistent theme in the New Testament Gospels. The apostles, you know, Jesus gives a teaching and within 10 seconds, they don't get it. It doesn't look very promising from any human point of view that these guys would ever be able to go to all the nations and preach the gospel. But church, it wasn't just depending on them. Jesus went to work, took those 12 loaves, if you will, and multiplied them. And it's painted on the walls of this church. Some of them are mentioned. You know, we have Paul and Barnabas, we got Matthew. We got Thomas. Thomas went to India. Matthew into Africa and Ethiopia. And you start to see the gospel spreading through every land. And by the back walls of the church, we've reached Canada. We've reached America. We've reached Central and South America. Over here, we've got Africa, Europe, the whole world. The gospel is everywhere today. And we need to continue to work. But I tell you, the gospel has reached to the ends of the earth. The Spirit of the Lord filled the whole orb of the earth. He did it. 5 loaves, or if you will, 12 loaves, and none of them very bright, frankly. But with Jesus, they had a dog in the fight. And now the gospel is reaching to the ends of the earth. Don't you tell me that it's just hopeless. You do your work. You bring your 5 loaves, your 2 fishes. Urge, plead. Go quiet for a while, but pick up the theme again. Testify. Ask yourself, why do I go to church? What do I get out of communion? What do I get out of receiving the bread of life? What's happened in my life? And start to joyfully testify. But work with others. Fast. Pray. Whatever it takes, bring it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I got my 50. I know I got to take care of them. This church has its 50, and we got to take care of them. And together with you, we're going to bring the world to Christ. And that's our job. Well, as usual, I've gone on too long. But today, the Lord is simply saying this to us on the Feast of Corpus Christi. I want to feed you. And I want to fill that God-sized hole in your heart with soul food. And I also want to feed some people you know and love, and I need you to go and call them to me. I need you to go and bring them to me. Will you do it, says the Lord? Will you have the faith? Will you have the urgency? Because some of the people you know and love are emaciated and to the point of starving eternally. Don't give up on them. Don't despair. But have an urgency to go and call them to me. I care about them, but I need you to be my voice. I need you to be my hand to drag them in here. I need you. Will you work with me? Somewhere deep in our heart, we've just got to hear, make that beautiful proclamation to people we love. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Or to be able to say simply, those beautiful words of the old spiritual. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard my Savior calling, come to my well that never will run dry. And to be able to say, I found that in Jesus. And not just have it be a slogan, but a real testimony. I have found the Lord, and I've never found him wanting. And I'm going to go home one day when I leave the manna behind and go to the promised land, a land of milk and honey. But for now, I need my manna. Come, Jesus, and feed my soul. Amen.